Let's do it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening.
You are listening to episode 190 of Sappening Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, the giant organ, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And okay, I was born, I have lived, I will surely die. But the importance...
No. If you carry on doing these fucking puns each and every week, you are going to fucking die. Because one day, we're going to have to do these intros in the same room. And that day is the day that you start and then everybody hears a... what did you do that for?
Okay, that's true. But the importance of this episode is crystal clear to me.
This week's guest is... I've got to give you more energy than that because I'm happier than that, right? Morgan, fuck you and your puns, right? This week's guest is Gustav Wood of Good Friends and fantastic, amazing UK rock band Young Guns.
Yes, finally it's happened. Young Guns are back. He's on the podcast. We got the exclusive. And trust me, this one is worth the wait. Gustav is one of our favorite people on the planet. Young Guns are a band who mean a lot to both of us in different ways. And there's a lot to unpack here. Ever since the band seemed to disappear in 2017, there's been a lot of questions from fans on their status, their future, if they'd broken up, and just really what was going on after a streak of silence online. Well, this past week, Young Guns made their triumphant return, playing two shows at the Fighting Cocks in Kingston and 2000 Trees Festival. And after endless requests from listeners, we sorted time to reunite with Gus and give him a platform to tell us everything. This conversation is completely honest, transparent, a little bit emotional, and you're going to hear everything about what's been going on behind the scenes for the last 5 years, why they've been so quiet, if anything is going to happen next, his time away from the band, and everything else. And Sean, I know this at 2000 Trees was just a very wholesome experience for us, getting to see them back together on stage in a completely packed tent.
Yes, I could not wait for them to go on. And then when they came on, just seeing them, literally seeing the smiles in their faces. And I remember just seeing Simon, the bassist, walk out looking happy as fuck. All I could think is, fucking right on, boys, right on. And then everybody sang along. Everybody was bouncing about. I had a bit of a moment when I nearly did a cry. Yeah, I think it's what everybody needed, to be honest, there. I think... the boys, the Young Guns boys needed it. As you could tell, they seemed very, very happy with it. And I think everybody left that tent tired because they gave more energy than Gustav could have asked for. Like, after spending years and years watching them grow originally, like in 2008, 2009, and all those things when we toured together as well with the Blackout and Young Guns, we did the Kerrang tour, we'd see each other about everywhere, we'd see each other in foreign festivals and have a laugh. And we just loved touring with them. We always had a great time with those boys. They were always loads of fun. Getting Gavin Butler and Simon Mitchell together to drink alcohol is a mad, mad experience. And who knows where that could end up at any point. So yeah, it was fucking great to see him and great to see him smiling and happy and great. Absolutely fucking fantastic. Well done, Young Guns, for being back. I hope you listen to this. I love you all very, very, very much.
Yes, it was a pleasant experience all around. I think so many people were absolutely buzzing to see the five of them back on stage. And a massive thank you to Gustav for trusting us in doing this podcast and giving us really the exclusive and talking about a lot of these things in the public for the first time. And just a massive thank you to 2000 Trees Festival for a wonderful past week. We just put out a bonus episode of everything we got up to during the festival, which you can go and check out now. And of course, tickets for the 2023 edition are now available via Dice and at 2000treesfestival.co.uk/tickets. But without any further ado, let's go straight into it. This is the beautiful Gustav Wood of Young Guns on episode 190 of Sapnin Podcast.
190!
I don't know why I did that. If anybody from the darts is listening and you need anybody to do, Sean, you require 47. Anyway, I won't go into it now. Yeah, we maybe might do this advert later. Anyway, yours fucking Gus from Young Guns. Fucking tidy. Lots of swearing from me then. I'm very sorry.
Sapnin!
I've lost my mind with excitement.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sapnin,
Jules.
Yeah.
I've got to be that to say, don't I?
This week's guest is frontman, singer, songwriter, and a guest we have been nagged to get. And I swear on mine and Morgan's lives, we have been trying. We finally pinned him down here at 2000 Trees Festival.
That's right.
And in the words of Aaron Lewis from Stained, it's been a while. Ladies and gentlemen, Gustav Wood of Young Guns.
Hello. Yes, I completely confess it is entirely my fault. I was doing a Boris Johnson. I was being a greased pig. I was slipping away from you guys. It's actually been kind of funny. Obviously, I love you guys. We've known each other for so long. But it was a bit of the state that Young Guns has been in is kind of there's so many unanswered questions internally that it was hard to answer questions externally.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
It makes complete sense.
Yeah, but I'm just glad we could do this now in person, get together and have a nice chat, man. Yeah,
it's lovely to see you, boys.
Yeah, it has been a while. But how are you doing? How are you feeling being at a festival and playing shows again?
It's great. It's really surreal. It's been a year. I mean, obviously, apart from anything else, of course, because of the pandemic and all that kind of stuff, I haven't even been to a festival in a couple of years, right? So it's weird just to be at one, But I'm really happy to be A, at a festival full stop, but B, playing, because it's been long enough. Well, it's actually been 5 years since Young Guns have played the show, which surprised me, let alone anyone else. So it feels amazing. I am a fairly cynical person. I wasn't sure how these shows would go in a number of different ways, but it was just fucking amazing, man. It's amazing how alien it felt, but also like completely normal immediately. You know, the first note rings out and you're like, oh yeah, okay. So thankfully some muscle memory kicked in. We had a really good time. Me and the boys love being together again. Seeing people singing along after all this time was really something.
That tent was fucking rammed.
Oh, it was
class, fucking class. Man. Everybody was jumping up and down and singing along and
it was fantastic. Just before we went on the stage, I was like, I'm not going to go and look at how many people are there. I don't want to know because, you know, whoever's there, it will be great. But of course, the ego wants it to be full. Yeah. And you never know after a period of time away if that's going to be the case. So, man, it was literally amazing. It was fantastic. Yeah.
You hadn't missed a beat. It's like you hadn't been away.
Yeah.
But yeah, people were so grateful. Literally all throughout through the day, all I heard was buzz about, I can't fucking wait.
Oh, that's so nice.
You can't wait to see Young Guns. So.
Yeah, I was talking to a lot of friends and stuff that like I used to go to gigs with back like 10 years ago, and they were just feeling like seeing you guys again was a trip down memory lane. Just so nice to see you all back on the stage together again and doing this.
Yeah, it's definitely a powerful nostalgia element. And I mean, even for a while, I kind of wrestled up with that. I was like, well, do I want that? You know, we obviously spent so long working so hard on the band. I'm like, am I content to have it be like a nostalgia thing? And then in the end, I was like, you know, I just need to get out my own fucking way a little bit. Like, it's cool to be in a band. It's fun to play shows. Whatever, man. Yeah. Let's just go and have fun, you know.
Well, so. Yeah, we were talking about this with St. Agnes earlier when we did the live one. We were talking about, basically, like lack of money in the business or whatever. Yes. But that half hour to an hour on stage is the best. Such a good feeling that it almost makes the fact.
It almost makes the fact that none of us have ever made any money worthwhile.
Yeah, but that's why we kind of do it, because we love that fucking thing. But to see you all come on and just to see the smiles on your face, like yesterday. I said to somebody yesterday that after I watched you, I felt like crying, right? Because I could see how happy... Either you're all fucking brilliant, award-winning actors.
Yeah, that's it.
You're all going to win Oscars next year. Or you're all genuinely happy because fucking... I saw Simon come on and he was beaming and I instantly was like, yes!
Yeah.
Fucking right. And everyone looked happy all the way through it and fucking... Ben was just up and down on his throne now
and again.
Of course,
Back where he belongs.
Yeah, it was class, but...
Yeah, but even little touches like that, having Ben coming back from the States to do this, I'm sure is just... There's been a lot of external questions, as you said, but to just see the reaction you've had these last two shows now, I'm sure it just feels so good to do it the way you have.
Yeah, it does. It does feel really good. And I think if we were going to do it, we were pretty set on the idea of it being like all five of us. And obviously these shows, let's remember that we were supposed to do these shows in fucking 2020. Yeah. So it was rescheduled again. And they just began to feel further and further away and like they would never happen. So when it kind of finally came to be that we were going to do them, I think we were just like, yeah, we've got to do it, you know. And like you say, man, I recognized almost everybody in the crowd, you know, whether it was friends of ours from other bands who were giving us their time, which was awesome, or just people that have grown up as fans of our band and seeing them, you know, older and having their lives moved on and the ways they've grown up and changed. They're still here singing Young Guns songs. It's just like, it is, I think it's interesting what you said about St. Agnes. It is a privilege, and I think you can forget how lucky we are to do this, and B, how cool it is. You can forget that because it is a stress, you know, when you're working all the time and you're essentially not making any money, and it's a very stressful industry at the best of times. But yeah, you get to walk on stage and everything else evaporates. And we went skydiving like 2 days. So 2 days. Wednesday, we went skydiving like 3 days ago.
What?
Yeah. It was for John's birthday. We threw him a kind of a surprise birthday and we took him skydiving.
we threw him out of a plane.
Yeah.
John's birthday, we threw him out of a plane.
With the help of a professional. And I fell out the plane and it's obviously terrifying. But there's this moment when nothing else in the universe is existing in that moment of time other than what's happening to you because it's so intense. And actually, that's kind of what being on stage is like. You're right. It's just a real simple moment where it's just about a feeling and a connection you have and just, you're not thinking about the bills you have to pay. Or if you are, you're probably not doing the right thing. But yeah, it was I mean, it was just a dream, honestly. It's been a really surreal week.
No, but it's been fantastic. It's been good to see you all back at it. But I mean, there's been so many questions from Young Guns fans, yes, over these last few years, just not really knowing what was going on with the band. Because as you said, you haven't played a show since 2017. Obviously, you had the pandemic in the middle of that. But there just seemed to be a lot of question marks around the band in general. A lot of people had thought you'd broken up, but you hadn't really posted anything as well. I mean, can you just kind of talk through what has been the situation of the band over these last few years? What's actually, yeah, sure, been going on?
Well, I think you are right in that the pandemic played a part, or rather the pandemic happened at a point in time when we were all already kind of distant, doing a separate things, and that obviously exacerbated that. But we, to kind of rewind the clock a little bit, 2017, we dropped the last record, or I think we dropped the record in 2016, then we finished touring in end of 2017. And we'd been touring, I mean, you know, we were playing shows with you guys in 2008. 2009 when we first started, and we'd been playing, you know, pub shows with different lineups and stuff for a couple of years before that. So by the time 2017 rolled around, we'd essentially been on tour for 8 or 9 years pretty solidly. A lot of time overseas, because America was a big concern for us at a certain point. So I think, frankly, everyone was just really burnt out, and I think we'd reached a point where we were doing things that I don't think we were really that proud of, or we weren't doing things in the right way. We didn't have time perhaps to work on the last record as much as we had wanted to, so it was a bit of a rushed release, and I don't think we were really ready to release the record, but we had to. That happened in a time when we maybe weren't getting on that much. I think also because we've been traveling so much, we were all pretty burnt out. We'd all gotten older, of course, and, you know, people have relationships and all these other things that come into play, and maybe it's not that easy to go away for 10 months out of the year anymore.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. People don't realize it's like the five of you are just living in each other's pockets for like, yeah, 9 months at a time. You've seen each other like every day. It's easy to fall out with people.
Yeah, like and it can even be a bit more kind of, it doesn't necessarily have to be like this nuclear fallout where you're kind of screaming at each other or fighting. It can just be like it's not harmonious anymore. Yeah. You know, you're just not having a good time. And I think, frankly, we were just super burnt out. So we decided to take a break. We didn't really put like a time limit on it, but in that period, me and John said, okay, well, look, we're going to continue writing because we love to write. That's just, you know, if we're not writing songs, we feel a bit like we don't know what we're doing. So me and John sat there writing a Young Guns album, with the idea being that we would release the fifth record when everyone had this period of time off. That period of time kind of got longer and longer. And me and John ended up having, I think at this point, we've got like 70 or 80 songs.
Oh, wow.
Which is just madness. So we were sending songs to the guys, and kind of early discussions were happening, and frankly I think we just reached a point where it seemed like not everybody really wanted to be doing it, whether it was because they had other jobs or careers that had taken off or what. I think for some people more than others, the desire to go back out and play shows and hustle, you know, and be away all the time and all the kind of less glamorous aspects of it, I don't really think that was speaking to them anymore. But because we never had like a concrete conversation about, is the band finished, is it not finished, it was more of like a, we're not right now, you know. Yeah.
Well, did you not have that conversation because it might be awkward, or because that you still had the passion in you to want to do it, and like you didn't want to hear it was final then?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I want to be careful in that I've had a really nice time with the guys. I think we really connected. It was really lovely. And I certainly don't want to say anything that's going to make them feel, you know, there's no finger pointing here. But I think people's desires were in different places. And I don't think anyone wanted to stop the band, but I don't necessarily think they wanted to commit to the band either. And that was difficult, because my desire was just, I want to still go and do this thing. So that was really quite difficult. Also, we're five guys, and so we just don't communicate. Like, emotionally stunted. Yeah. So, honestly, it was a bit... The reason we never really communicated to, like public-facing with any kind of clarity is because I didn't really have any fucking idea what was going on. And to be honest, I don't really think any of us did. So, it was just... I I wanted to put something out that was like, look, Young Guns is finished, or Young Guns is continuing with a new lineup, or whatever it was going to be. But we kind of just never really addressed it, and it kind of became a bit toxic for a little while. We still would hang out, but we just wouldn't speak about this elephant in the room. And what's been really nice now is that enough time has passed now that we are just really, I think, having a good time being together again. And obviously we've played these shows now. And so naturally questions appear as to, well, all right, what are you doing now then?
Yeah.
You know, can we talk about it now? With regards to the status of the band moving forward, it is still a little bit anyone's guess. I think our desire at the moment is to take it very easy.
Okay.
We have lots of new material should we choose to release some, and I think some of it is really good, but I'm not going to commit to saying that we are going to do that. I would like to put some new music out, and I would like to play some more shows, and maybe those things will happen. It's probably about as concrete as I can be at this point. Will we ever go back to touring for 10 months out of the year and all that kind of stuff? It's probably unlikely in this band.
Yeah,
we shall see.
So it's more that you guys are back, but it's just picking and choosing what you want to do when, if it feels right kind of thing, rather than going back on that old full throttle mentality.
I think if it's going to be anything, it will probably be a different approach, which is very much, we'll play some shows every now and again, we can do some bits and pieces. I would love that. And if people out there want to come and see us play shows, then, you know, that would be awesome.
They do.
They do. But you know, I'll be honest, I didn't think they fucking did. So, I was, every busy show we ever played, I was always surprised. And that certainly hasn't changed. But it is amazing to see that there is an appetite there still. And it's just, I'm very happy. It's fantastic.
Nice. It's good. It's really good to see. What would you say was the catalyst for you guys to actually do these shows again? Because as you mentioned, you were supposed to do some anniversary dates at festivals in 2020. Was there a conversation or a moment before
had you rehearsed for those already, for those shows?
No,
or?
No, we hadn't rehearsed for those already. No, I mean, we only had like 3 rehearsals for these. Well, originally, essentially what happened was that it was going to be 10 years of the first record, All Our Kings Are Dead, and that would have been 2020. And so we said, okay, well, let's do like an anniversary tour of the first time, play the album in full, and then we'd like do, you know,
hits, like
some songs at the end or whatever, right? So that would have been, I think that would have been a lot of fun, and that was the plan. And then that was 2020, that got pushed back to 2021, and then we were like, okay, well, it's not a 10-year anniversary anymore, so okay, fuck it, we'll just play anyway. And then the shows that we were going to do, because we were going to do Slam Dunk, Trees, and I think one or two other little bits and pieces, then they got pushed to twice last year because Slam Dunk was going to be in April and then it ends up being in September. And then Ben had his baby. Jolliffe had his baby in September, so we couldn't do Slam Dunk. And then it was like, okay, let's not make these shows that we are going to do now anniversary shows. Let's just play songs. And then if we do some stuff later in the year, perhaps that will be 10 years of the second album.
Nice. Well, what did you... in that period you've had off... I know you did like songwriting for other people and stuff as well.
Can you
talk to us about that?
That just reminds me, I completely forgot to get my manager guest list. Don't worry. Sorry, dude. Sorry, what? my bad. Because I enjoy performing, absolutely. But the thing I always loved was the songwriting process. I thought I was better at the songwriting process than the performing. I had to really work at the performing thing. And so it kind of was, it was actually an accident. I was, me and John, we wrote the majority of the music, certainly in the past couple of years, and just felt like a logical extension to start writing for other people. And I bumped into somebody that we'd used to work with back in the day, a guy called Will Blake. He runs a songwriting kind of collective, producer collective. And he's like, look, I always liked your songwriting. What, do you want to just get in the room with some more pop stuff? And I said, yeah, sure. So that was really fun. It's just like being in a band, the highs are really high and the lows are really low. You know, I take things very personally. So if you write a good song in a room with someone, you think, oh my God, I'm fucking fantastic. This is great. And if you write a bad song, you think, I am a fraud. I am shit at everything. And this is all my fault. So that was really enjoyable, but could be quite painful. So sometimes it's like, why have I gone back into this bit of it? But a lot of songwriting, which is really good. But then me and some friends of ours over the pandemic started a creative marketing company.
Wow.
And that's ended up doing quite well, which has meant that I had to kind of dial back the songwriting, just primarily focus on that. So it's kind of my quote unquote real job, I suppose, now is creative marketing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. But speaking of those songwriting sessions,
yeah.
I want to ask you, is it true you had a writing session with Duran Duran?
Yeah. It's really strange how this one came about. Okay, so I don't know what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say, so I'll just say it all. Two of the guys from Duran Duran, John Taylor, funnily enough, and Nick Rhodes have been writing a musical. And I think it's been a bit of a passion project for them. They've been doing it for years on and off. Obviously, Duran Duran kind of still play shows and do things like that. So I got asked to go in and just kind of demo up. They were essentially writing the whole musical like as if they were recording an album. And I got asked to go in for a day or two and cut some vocals, and it kind of evolved a little bit more. I went back in for a chunk of sessions, ended up kind of singing like the lead kind of character in the musical.
Oh, wow.
Just on this kind of recorded version of it, which was a really unusual experience. actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, did you have to sing talking? Did you have to be like, I'm going over here now? Yeah.
I always would think of the Simpsons, you know, Dr. Zaius. He can talk, I can sing. You know? So it was like that, essentially. Yeah, nice. That is what it was.
That's class.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like a different experience. You know, thespianess, it can feel a bit kind of wanky.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, so does that mean in the future you might be in something like that or involved somehow?
I don't know, is the honest answer.
Okay.
I honestly don't know. I don't know what's happening with that. I mean, that was a few years ago now, and I don't think that I don't have any more involvement with it. I don't know if they're still doing it.
Yeah.
It was really cool, and if they do it, obviously good luck to them. But I was thinking about it at the time, and I think I would have just felt like a bit of a twat on stage, to be honest with you. So I'd much, you know, it's you have to be able to abandon yourself or you're kind of a pretense, I think, if you're going to act and do all that stuff. And I'm not sure.
It's got to be a magical moment, though, when you think like when you started and you brought out All Our Kings Are Dead and stuff, and then all of a sudden Duran Duran want to work with you. That's like,
really peculiar.
For me, that would be fucking strange. Like, that would
be super surreal. And I mean, obviously they're incredibly talented, they've had so much success, and they were really complimentary, and that obviously felt really nice. So it's really cool, man. Yeah, it was a very weird experience, but it was cool. I mean, I've had a lot of weird experiences, and that kind of just was, it's pretty up there with them.
Well, is there anybody else that you wrote songs with that we might know, or that you did them for?
So most of the songwriting that I did was kind of for developing artists that are just signed to majors, kind of young acts that they were basically kind of putting in a room with a load of writers to build a body of work. So I don't know if you would have heard of any of them. But it was a lot of fun. It's obviously a different world writing pop stuff. And, you know, in Young Guns, I mean, we wrote Bones, took us like 6 months, you know, and these pop guys, they write a song in 9 hours, you know, and that's although that is fun, it is quite challenging, and it's not always, it's quite an odd experience writing for somebody else, because you want to be proud of it, but it's also not your song. So it can be quite complicated figuring out what your barometer is. It's like, do I have to be proud of it? Does that matter? You know, but if I'm not proud of it, I don't like it. So it can be quite kind of weird and confusing, and working with other artists is quite weird, because I mean, I worked with one artist, I won't say who it was, but I worked with one artist that wanted to write a song about a family member of theirs that had passed away, but they didn't want to write any of the lyrics or the music. So I was like, okay, well, that's not my place to say this. Maybe I wasn't good enough as a writer to be able to step into that, but I didn't feel comfortable doing that. So it's kind of, can be weird. Can be weird.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Bones there, and we've never spoken about it, but it was used as the WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was a WrestleMania theme, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that come about? How was that for you?
Man.
Because that's a big sports thing. That's a very big sports thing.
Are you sick of fellas with neck beards getting tattooed? Bear in mind, we love wrestling.
Of course,
we are the prime fans.
So I grew up, I mean, you know, when I was a little boy, Legion of Doom, stuff like that. I was obsessed with wrestling when I was a kid. How did that come about? Well, we'd written Bones. We wrote it in Thailand, the whole album. Or we recorded it in Thailand, sorry. We came back, we released it in the UK and Europe, toured it for 6 to 8 months. And then we ended up signing a deal with an American label called Wind Up, and they are kind of very radio focused in the acts that they sign and kind of the process that they have to push those acts. So we ended up doing a lot of work in America, when we, to push the first single, Bones. And a single campaign in the UK is what, 4 weeks, 6 weeks? Bones was like a 51-week single campaign.
It's a year!
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
A year on a single.
And of course, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on all that kind of stuff. So we did maybe six or seven, like, radio tours. And when I say radio tour, what I mean is going to radio stations in America. And first time we would tour and we'd be playing in the canteen to the staff, you know, and then we'd go back again and we'd be on like graveyard shift, and then we'd go back again and be doing acoustic set, and it would be like drive time. And you know, you kind of build the single like that, and if people were obviously enjoying the single. So we were kind of having some momentum in America, which was great. And WWE just reached out and said, look, we love this song, we think it's really gonna fit with WrestleMania, we'd love to have the song as the kind of one of the two or three, I think, kind of main songs of the event. It's like us, Diddy, P. Diddy, and
of course, you know. Well, you can't talk about Young Guns.
Well, up, is, of course, yeah.
You can't talk about Young Guns without bringing up P. Diddy.
Of course, yeah. So that was obviously amazing, and we thought, oh, well, we're going to be rich. Yeah. They were like, oh no, you don't get paid. There's no pay.
Yeah.
But joking aside, that was obviously a huge thing. It was big for exposure, and it was just a thrill to be a part of something of that size. We were actually in New York at the time, and the event was being held, WrestleMania was at the MetLife across the water in New Jersey. And we're like, we're actually gonna go to WrestleMania. This is incredible. We're gonna hear our song. Like, it's gonna be amazing. Maybe we'll even perform. Just assuming. There was 200 guest list spots, and actually P. Diddy took them all. So we can go. And we said, oh, okay, yeah. we'll go watch it in a bar, pay-per-view event or something. And there are, you can't show pay-per-view events in bars in Manhattan, apparently. So we ended up having to, and I probably shouldn't admit this, but we ended up having to stream it illegally on a laptop in New York, just watching it. So it wasn't quite the
The thing is, you can't get in trouble for that, because that's P. Diddy's fault.
Yeah,
it's P. Diddy's fault.
So if anybody's got any problems with that, get in touch with PuffDaddy69 at hotmail.com.
Good.
Wow. Yeah. Who's asking for 200? Well, Puff Daddy, obviously, but 200 guests.
Sean Coombs.
Yes, Sean Coombs.
Fuck it.
Got a lot of friends. So.
Wow.
But that was fun. I mean, then, you know, with the benefit of having some hindsight and some time between all of those experiences, even the kind of silly things are so amazing to have experienced and gone through.
Did you see, after Bones was used on WrestleMania, did you see like a big influx more of streams or things people listening to it?
It's I don't know if I'd be able to tell you what was attributed to WrestleMania, because I think at that point the single had just gone to number one on rock radio over there, so nice. Everything was just mental, and so it was just this collective moment of like madness, which again was, you know, how fortunate I am to have had that. But yeah, so I don't know if we have.
It helped, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it helped,
yeah.
But I wouldn't be able to tell you in what way.
Well, I wanted to talk about that whole American period for the band as well, because for those years, it did seem that you had a lot of time over there and that you didn't really get a chance to tour anywhere else, really, because stuff was going crazy on there. And you mentioned those radio tours. Sometimes you're playing four or five different stations in different states in the same day. Did it ever become quite daunting in that extent? Did it ever become maybe that you'd have to move over to America to try that? Or was it just an opportunity you really wanted to try? I mean, what was that period like?
Well, I think that's actually, when I look back on it, I think that's one of the things probably that began to cause.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Some stresses within the band, because we were spending an awful lot of time in America, and we had to because of the nature of, like I say, the single campaigns, the length, the amount of work you have to do in order to promote something over there, because it's so big. But what that meant was that we began to neglect the UK and Europe, and we had been up until that point in a moment when things were really growing really well. We were having some small success over here, and it felt fantastic. We were building something. And then we kind of, that all just kind of got put on pause for America. And I think some people found that harder than others. And on reflection, probably wasn't necessarily the right idea, because I do think that we lost some momentum over here that we then weren't really able to recover. So that was a really, I was thrilled to be over there. And I have family there. My brother lives there. And my dream was always to kind of to move there. So I in that moment, I think there probably some of us were considering it, and there were conversations about it. But half of the band had obviously, you know, lives here that had to be tended to. And so that we didn't make that full shift to being over there permanently. But I do think we neglected the UK and Europe too much. And I think that really hurt us in the long run. A, in terms of our progression as a band, but also B, like internally, I think kind of the boat was rocked at that point, and we never quite steadied it after that. We'd just signed a major label deal over here. We'd gone from an independent to Virgin. And they were kind of putting lots of money in to go with this fancy producer and that fancy producer. And there were some decisions that were made at that point that probably weren't the right decisions. So the album was delayed by 6 months. And so once we lost that momentum, we just never really recovered it in the same way. So that was a really exciting time being an American. I mean, the day we found out we had the number one single, we literally woke up at 6 a.m. because we'd driven overnight to go see the Grand Canyon. So we woke up in our bandwagon at 6:30 a.m. by the tour manager going, "Oh, we've just got the news, you're number one." So we got up and we went and looked out at the Grand Canyon with having been told that 10 minutes before. And things like that are just, you know,
what a fucking moment. Like, yeah, you like, couldn't write it. Like, you couldn't.
Yeah. And so
fucking beautiful.
That was absolutely fucking amazing. And we had countless, you know, stupid stories and hijinks and also just amazing shows and all the cool stuff that we were able to do over there. But I think that's Young Guns kind of split in terms of our, we became two different bands, the American Young Guns and UK and European Young Guns, and those two never really kind of got back together, and that hurt us, I think.
Okay, that's fair. But while we're taking a trip down memory lane, I really wanted to just get your thoughts on those early days, and especially being a band in the scene at that time. The UK alternative, just kind of seeing it itself, was such a thriving experience.
Yeah.
There was so many bands at that time who would all tour together and just sharing the love, and you don't see too many of them now still around. What was that time just like for you coming up and being able to connect with so many bands and make friends with them?
I mean, obviously, first off, it was fantastic. And it felt like there was something happening. You know, we would play our shows, Kerrang Tour and all that kind of stuff. And we were just friends with loads of bands who were all really fucking good and all were kind of having success. And that was like a really exciting time. I mean, we played, I think, our second or third ever show with Def Havana, for example, and we stayed close with them, and kind of both bands did their thing. And Kids in Glass Houses, you guys, there was, I mean, You and Me at Six, hundreds of bands, and that was really, really exciting, man. I mean, it was just, what a charmed point in time, you know, just kicking it at festivals and being idiots and getting into scrapes and playing shows and just having an amazing time. I wish I'd been a little more present.
That seems to be a recurring factor in all of these bands. All the bands we've spoken to have got back together or have been doing it a while. That seems to be a thing now about, yeah, in that moment, I wish I was more present.
Because I wish I was just kind of absorbed it a little more, as opposed to just drinking another Jägerbomb or whatever we were doing, you know. Of course, that, you know, it's... that's what hindsight is. You look back and go, oh yeah, now I understand. Of course, that's the way the entire universe works. But, you know, it was an amazing point in time. And it did feel like there was a moment, there was that, you know, our friends were on Kerrang! Magazine covers every week. It was cycling through everyone.
What do you think about it now? It's crazy, yeah. Isn't it? It's like we were all just hanging out. We were all just people in bands just trying to have a laugh and just trying to do this. Yeah. And then we were like, oh, here we are. We're all on a cover of a rock sound. Yeah. We're on a...
And I thought quite, relatively speaking, quite ego-free, all things considered. Everyone was like really nice. Like so many good friends from bands from that point in time that I'm still friends with now. But yeah, it was definitely a moment. I wish I'd been a little more present. I just wish I'd been a little more present in
it. No, that's
you know?
Fair. That's fair. Well, I guess this is a kind of open question to the both of you, but obviously those like late 2000, 2010 bands was what I grew up on. You both know this. I've went to your show so many times growing up, meeting friends and everything. And as I mentioned, there's not a lot of those acts still around now. Obviously, you've got people like Bring Me the Horizon, Yumi 6, Death of Honor still doing really well, but there isn't a Kids in Glass Houses, Lower Than Atlantis, We Are the Ocean, as they go on.
Yeah.
What do you think really happened there with so many bands couldn't continue? I feel like there was the lucky few. You obviously all worked very hard, but is there anything just kind of looking back, reflecting on, that you guys kind of feel was a turning point there, or kind of separated?
Yeah, I don't, because there was suddenly that period where bands just started to fall away.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a case of the kind of people's appetites for that kind of music and like general tastes were changing, and so people perhaps weren't as into that kind of music anymore. Or was it internally, you know, if you're a band for X amount of years, obviously things inevitably start to happen, you maybe aren't on the same page creatively, like I don't know. But you know, it's a charmed life, and we're speaking about all the cool stuff you do, all the cool shit you do. It's amazing, but you know, the elephant in the room is that it's very, very hard to make money. You know, that is the honest truth of it. And I don't know if people really comprehend how difficult it is, or just how little money there is in it, until you get to a certain level. You know, and even now, the people that get to that certain level, whether you look at the kind of top pop stars, it's like then it's not even enough just for them to be a pop star anymore. They have to be a brand, you know, whether it's across social media or their platform that they use. You know, it's so much more multifaceted now because the music has become less and less important, really. So, look, it's really hard to say. That was a strange, like, the kind of, there's a bit of a death of bands in a certain period. And I honestly don't know why. Probably a mix of getting older, tastes are changing, the industry has changed a lot. I mean, we talk about Kerrang! Magazine, all those Bibles that we read growing up, and, you know, it's hard to find them. Are they even in print anymore? I don't think so. It's mostly online, right? So it's just a real time of change, I think, for music in general. And some bands managed to make it through the kind of blade as it went up and down, and some people didn't, and I think that's just kind of, that's the way it goes sometimes, I suppose. But some great bands in that time.
No, of course.
Really were.
But it's just, yeah, it's just a one, like, every time I reminisce about those things now, I'm just like, it's fucking mad that, like, we all kind of got to a great level and none of us thought we'd ever get to, but we all, our friends did it. It was mad. So we went from, like, oh, we're all playing like fucking 80 capacity shows together, and next minute we're all doing like 2,500 in different venues, going, fucking hell, we're all doing it.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. It was so good. And what a treat, you know, going to see your mates play shows like Brixton or the Forum or Shepherd's Bush Empire. Or, I mean, it was an amazing time. It really was an amazing time. I kind of, after Young Guns kind of went on this strange period of hiatus, I guess, I actively stopped listening to music. I found it quite difficult.
Okay.
So I stopped looking at what kind of contemporary or young up-and-coming bands were doing here in the UK. I just had to go away from it, you know, because I found it quite traumatic. So I don't know if that, I don't know, is that happening now with...
I would say it's not to the scale of as it was in those earlier years. There are some great bands.
Because there are some great UK bands around, for sure.
There's a lot of bands who are touring together and have that togetherness, but it doesn't, to me, it doesn't feel the same as what I was growing up with and what I was discovering music with and stuff like that. Again, some great bands and everything, but it just felt like those earlier years in particular felt like a very, very special time, because there was so much talent and you were all able to mix up those lineups? You know, you were tall together and it wasn't worried if it made sense or not.
Yeah. No, it didn't. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's not like we all sounded like each other, but it still would just work because I hate to use the word, but it was a scene, I suppose.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to be part of a scene.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned there, like, I had the exact same thing in 2015 when the Blackheart split up. I literally was like, right, well, music's dead.
Yeah, music exists no more.
All bands have just stopped.
Yeah.
And then I was just, for about, well, up until we started this, I guess. So the catalyst for starting this was, I was just bored. I was like, there's no front men doing it. Like, I would want to do it myself. So ultimately, there's not that many people who can entertain me. There's probably Frank Carter still left, Jason from Let Live. That's it. Like, they're the only two front men I go and see, actively want to go and see. But otherwise, music felt dead to me. And then Ryan Richards, the drummer from Funeral for a Friend, Future History Management, he said, oh, come on down and see this band Holding Absence in Cardiff. I think you might like them. So I was like, I won't fucking like them. I don't like any bands.
Yeah.
So I went down there and they were so fucking good. And the crowd there reminded me so much of, like, back in the day when Kids in Glass Houses and the Blackout were doing shows in Club Eva Bach. They were passionate. They wanted to fucking, they were basically an extension of the band, I guess.
Yes, that's a good way of
putting
it.
And that made me go, oh, it's still carried on. I can't believe it. Yeah. It's carried on. But then finally I was like, oh, cool. It's a band. And then I started getting into more of it. And then learning about more bands. And then when we decided to do this podcast, it was just hearing people's stories from anything. It's just so inspiring. Like, and I don't want to ask the same question. Like, what's your favorite song to play live and all this shit? And where do you get your crazy ideas? I just want to hear the stories and tidbits that people don't realize that they're listening to this. Like, so the people are going to be listening to this now who fucking love Young Guns, right? Mm. Absolutely adore Young Guns, but don't know these things that have happened behind the scenes and stuff. And that to me is much more interesting, and to you, things that get you excited is more interesting to me and our listeners than, you know, the typical answers and your typical stuff like that.
Which is why, although I've spent a long time avoiding it, I'm actually doing it now. But, you know, on that note, two things, man. You fantastic frontman, and you belong on a stage. I always thought you were absolutely superb. I mean, the amount of times I would watch you and be like, oh, he's really going to hurt himself in a second. I can't remember what
for a man with no singing talent whatsoever.
That's not true.
That's
not true, but you are a spectacular frontman, and I'm glad you're doing it again. And Holding Absence, I think, are a band that really have something special. I think it, because it's very genuine. The kid Lucas is just like a real talent.
But the thing is, the stupid fucker doesn't know how good he is.
He's very humble.
No, but if he did,
he
would be as good.
Yeah, right? In a way, yeah. But I just heard him talking all the time, and I'm like, he's just so, like, humble and so, again, doesn't realize how good he is that. I want to shake him sometimes. I want to, like, bro, you're going to be the Harry Styles of rock, I think.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, you could see it. But I think that, you know, I think that's nice because when I was a kid, I loved singers in bands that were larger than life and were I couldn't relate to because I thought they were, like, you know, iconic and stuff. But I think it's really important now for people to be relatable and for people to be real. And I think someone like Lucas really has those qualities. And I think, I dare say, his audience can really relate to him. And that's probably a key part of their strength and his fantastic voice and the great songs that they have. So I really respect them as a band. I think they're going to do really, really well. And there's a bunch of other good bands in the UK, but they're, for me, probably the one I've caught my eye the most. So I agree with you on that.
Well, there we go. Holding Absence is Gustav with approved.
There we go. Seal of approval. That's probably doomed them. So sorry, guys.
Yeah, don't put that on the album, for God's sake.
Well, Gus, as we start to wind down a little bit here, obviously you've mentioned just kind of so many experiences in your life that you're very grateful for.
Yeah.
Is there any in particular that come to mind when you look back at the early days or just everything Young Guns just being able to achieve? What kind of sticks out for you in terms of just, like, certain tours, momentum, anything like that? What kind of
was there a moment that you thought, oh, we're actually a pretty big band?
I don't think I ever thought we were a pretty big band because I had access to my bank account, so but, well, I think it's a really obvious thing to say, but definitely I grew up in a city. I couldn't really, I'd say this, I never really had the opportunity to travel much as a kid. Like, my family could never really afford to go on holidays. Okay. So I never really flew, maybe once or twice in my life. So to be able to travel with my friends to places I'd always dreamt of going to, but just assumed I never would be able to go to, whether it's Japan or Australia or America even, that was a privilege. And of course, in this time we live in now, when really it's so much harder to travel, and there's also questions about should you be flying, you know, with the state of the world, to look back on that and be like, you know, I looked at Simon face down, unconscious in Tokyo in the hotel floor at 4 a.m. Or
I've seen him unconscious in Australia.
Yes.
They're all just so drunk.
Like, well, you know, kind of just watching Ben run around half naked in, you know, some place in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily that, but to have had all these kinds of experiences all around the world with my friends, and then on top of that, to be able to walk into venues in places that I've never been to before and have people just really want to talk to you and say nice things to you and sing music that you wrote, not knowing what you were doing in a bedroom or in like a practice space with your friends, just completely blagging it and having it somehow translate to people on the opposite side of the planet, it was a pretty transcendent thing. So for me, I don't know about any one particular experience, but all those good shows that we had overseas and all that kind of stuff would nice. Probably be for me.
Oh, beautiful. And just a couple of other quick things. Obviously, you mentioned that you and John had written like so many songs in that kind of period. Was there ever a thought about maybe you two doing like a side project or another band or that? Or did you just want to keep them in case Young Guns ever do decide to make a new album?
Yeah, we essentially have been writing kind of for two bands. So we have enough material to release a new Young Guns record and a new project record. And I don't want to commit to anything right now, but that essentially has been the game plan. So that's, I'm hoping, what will be happening sooner rather than later.
Nice.
Yeah, me and him have been working for a long time, and I think we've written the best songs we've ever written. So in one way, shape or form, there will be music emerging.
Oh, nice.
Right, I'm not asking what it is. Have we got a name yet?
There's a few names at the moment.
All right, cool. Just checking. Yeah.
Nice.
All of them are better than Young Guns.
Yeah, so, cool.
Although not much.
As long as they're better than Wet Leg, you should be all right, because I'm not accepting that.
Yeah.
They might be a great band, but I'm too shallow.
You really can call your band absolutely fucking anything, can't you?
Good band name. There absolutely fucking anything.
Yeah. AFN.
I'm looking forward to seeing what is next with all that. But
we all
as well, you mentioned, you know, we talked about returning for these shows. What was your first like just thought getting back on the stage at that show in London?
It was unbelievable. I was quite nervous. This is a small show. But I mean, it speaks to my kind of lack of, I've always been quite cynical, and you know, we needed to do a warm up before doing 2000 Trees, and I thought, okay, well, you know, let's keep it very small, and if it sells out in a few days, or if it sells out at all, that'll be a result. And it sold out in like 7 seconds. So suddenly, something that was supposed to be totally no pressure became really fucking pressurized in my head. But I was quite nervous, and I had to just really work on being like, just remember that this is fun, this is cool, and that's what it's supposed to be, just a good time. Don't stress. It's gonna be nice. And first note, everyone starts singing, felt unbelievable, and I just thought, oh yeah, I forgot this is what I'm supposed to do with my life, you know. I accidentally ended up playing music and realized it was the only thing I've ever cared about. And so to be doing it again after 5 years and have people crying and singing and just really just, it was quite probably one of the best nights of my life, actually. So it was amazing.
Class.
Nice, nice. Well, awesome. Mate, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It's been great to see you. A lot of people are going to be very excited that this has happened. Sorry that we've kind of bugged you about it for so long.
I have to apologize for taking so long. It was nothing personal. It was really just that I was like,
timing is everything.
Timing is everything. And also, you know, until me and the boys had spent time together again as a full five piece, we weren't really sure what was happening. So I think now that's happened, I feel in a bit more of a place to be able to kind of I suppose, talk to people again and play music again. And it, you know, hopefully we'll be doing this again and there'll be new music and new conversations to be had then.
Yes.
Nice. Well, I can't wait for everything. It's Thank been so mate. Nice to see you in person. It's been
Lovely
so nice to see you back on the stage. And yeah, just sending nothing but love from us.
Yes. Love you, boys. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Sappy Podcast!
Woo! I absolutely loved seeing Gus. Getting to chat with him, getting to spend this time with him was awesome. He seems happy. He seems energized. He seems excited about the future. And that makes me Christmas happy, because seeing one of my friends do the thing that he loves again is fantastic. So I was absolutely chuffed to see him. I was absolutely honored that we got to have this chat with him. I know that we made the joke that we have asked him a few times. And that's funny, but we have asked him about 7,000 times. That's not me having a go. I genuinely think this is the perfect time to have done it. I'm glad we didn't do it any sooner. So thank you very much to Gus for giving us this time, giving us this exclusive. We cannot wait to see what is next for all of those boys, especially them as a whole, as Young Guns as well. Cheers, Gus.
Yeah, and as someone who literally grew up in that late 2000s, early 2010s UK music scene, like, for me, it was just... It was Christmas. I'm going to use your phrase, Sean. It was Christmas happy seeing bands like that all back together. And I'm really, really excited about everything that's what's next. And yeah, we make the jokes about it's been a while for us asking and stuff, but
been a while.
But I'm glad we got to sit down together backstage at 2000 Trees and just kind of have this chat with no pressure and everything. What was funny though, Gus did tell me that apparently after that show at the Fighting Cocks in London, someone went up to him and begged him to do the podcast. So
nice,
I love
one.
That. I love
Thank
that
you
enthusiasm.
Very much. Yes. Yes, if you listen to this fucking podcast, right, and you enjoy it, fucking nag your favourite band, because I am up for talking to them, and I'm up for annoying them, right? So let's fucking all go, is it? Tell you what, on Twitter, Instagram, and fucking even Child's App TikTok, right, get in touch with us, at SappeningPod, at SAPPENINPOD, that's at SAPPENINPOD, tag your fucking favourite band, let's make them fucking sick of this shit. Billy Joe Armstrong. Let's fucking... Oh, this is what we should do. Every week we should do like a... We should do like a tactical... bombardment. Good band. Tactical Bombardment. They're playing Next Year's Trees, are you? They're one of the first confirmed headliners. Them and possibly Deftones. I made that up. That wasn't true, but... I'm lost, Morg. I've gone too far too soon.
No, but... Gus teased a lot of different things in there, so hopefully, you know, there'll be some new music from some sort of them as a whole or a different project, and hopefully some more shows in the future. We can only hope. I'm not saying anything. I'm not putting anything out there. This is literally me wishing this.
No, it sounds like you're saying it.
Next year is the 10th year anniversary of Bones, and I wouldn't mind seeing that live in full. So if they want to do something for that, due to my request, that would be great. So thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, please.
Yes, yeah, so we'd just like to confirm Young Guns are the headliners of Sappening Fest, which is taking place in 2023 at Wembley Stadium, Old Trafford, and Pendaren Park, which is where Merthyr Tydfil play football. It's going to be three different sites that all have the same bands playing the same day as well, just at different times. I don't know how, but yeah.
Have you tried getting a train from Merthyr to Manchester? That's not easy. That's not quick
piss, man.
Either.
Oh, anyway, yeah, if you'd like to support Sappening Fest, which is definitely happening in Wembley Stadium, Old Trafford and Pennon Park in 2023, get in touch with us at patreon.com/Sappening to show your support for such a brilliant festival. Headliners include the full Queen lineup.
The OG lineup.
The Jacksons OG lineup, including Michael. No hologram.
Nirvana.
No, Nirvana not playing. No. Korn are playing, and and everyone's new favorite band, Pig Sevenfold.
Yes, and Wet Leg. Don't forget Wet.
Damp Limb are playing.
Where the fuck are we going with this? Anyway, please support us via Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin. If you enjoy what we do, you want us to continue making this on a weekly basis. And if...
Do they, though, Mug? Do they want us to keep going? Because I don't think they do. If they did, right? Yeah, if they did, 200 people who are not part of the Patreon would join this fucking week, wouldn't they? But they won't, because they don't care, man. Fucking hell. Anyway, sorry, Mug, carry on.
There is loads of other exclusives and bonus and other things on the Patreon wall for you to dive your teeth into. And you get included in our wonderful community.
Wait. There's no such thing as dive your teeth into. It's sink your teeth into. You can't dive your teeth into anything. I'm not letting you get away with that. I've let you get away with too many fucking mistaken sentences lately.
Yeah.
So here we are. Dive your teeth into this, you mad, but dive your eyes into this.
This outro is a fucking shambles. There's loads of other things on the Patreon that you can check out. There's a great community of people you can get involved with. They're like a family. Be part
Did
of
you
the
say,
family.
Wait. I think you said...
No!
I think you said get evolved with, not involved with.
Patreon.com/sapnin. Please, for the love of God, join it so I can have elocution lessons. Yes.
Please, join the Patreon, right? So I can give him I've forgotten how to say the word I'm looking for.
Right. Anyway, if you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there.
Electrocuted lessons. That's what I want to give him. Electrocuted lessons.
That I've hopefully spelt correctly. But as always, Sean needs to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapling Podcast Patreon community. Those are the lovely people in the top tiers.
Yes, and those names are as follows. Thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwawe, Janelle Castan, Paul, Morgan and Sean own 2003s like a metalcore Bert and Ernie Hirschfield. Thank you very much, Paul. Mitch Perry, Dilly Grimwood, Tony Michael, Natasha Morris, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Kelly Irwin, Sammy G, Kat Besant, Murray Grimwood, Jenny Robertson, Scott Jones, Kieran Olmey, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Tom Owen, Stuart, when do bees get married? When they meet their honey. Honey like Steve Vai makes McNaught. That's a reminder. Have we had it? No Steve Vai honey. It's all right, though. We've had the Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes card game, haven't we? Anybody else promised us anything that they haven't given us yet, apart from interviews?
This is going to be something.
Yeah, I think Nike said they were giving us a couple of million. Anyway, thank you very much. Kayla O'Sullivan, Caroline Robinson, Kate Patak, M. Evans Roberts, Martina McManus, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster. Jesus Christ, I need to fuck that up. Thank you very much. James McNaught, Kelly Cannon, Emily Perry, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Craig Aris, Kalila Keane, Adam Parslow, Ollie Amesbury, Josh, what do you call it when you dip your testicles in glitter? Pretty Nuts. Crisp. Thank you very much. Alice Wood, Gary White, Reese Boring, Kate Stevenson, Kyle Campaign for Steve Vai, Honey, David Smith. I'm fucking trying, Kyle. And last but not least, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to all of those people. If you would like me to butcher your name or you would like to read your name in the description of this podcast, as Morgan said, check out patreon.com/sapnin. We've gone on too long. We've lost the fucking plot during this one. But I enjoyed it very, very much. Thank you again to Gus for doing this. Thank you very much for Young Guns for the years of music, entertainment, and great shows. I've enjoyed this very much. I hope you have, Morg.
Yes, it's meant a lot. This episode truly has meant a lot. So thank you again so much to everyone in Young Guns, Gus, and everyone for checking this out. Thank you to 2000 Trees, Cecil, and thank you to everyone who have supported us this festival season. Being very busy, but we've gotten a lot of things and done a lot of things that I'm very proud of. Tickets for 2000 Trees 2023 are available now via Dice and at 2000treesfestival.co.uk/tickets. And of course, we will be back next Friday
with another very special guest, and hopefully we won't be as chaotic.
No, I like the chaos. I like the chaos. But again, just a quick one from me, just to say, literally over the past 3 months, we've got to do Slam Dunk Download and 2000 Trees. We've got to do our first ever live podcasts. We've now done 4 of them. This all wouldn't be possible without your guys' support. So thank you very much to you, to the Patreon people, to the PR people who let us talk to their bands, to the festivals for letting us into the fucking festivals in the first place. But yeah, thank you very much to everybody involved. We love you and we appreciate you. I'm out this bitch. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Peace!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.